Welcome to the Children's and Young Adult Novels Book Club, Cyan Book Club for short, where we connect you with the stories worth telling. I'm your host, Zach Whiting, and today is Short Story Saturday. This is just the time that I get to come on here and share with you some of the stories that I have written, and hopefully you enjoy them. Hopefully there's something you can take away from them. Well, here is the short story for today. Melody and the Bird. Melody shut her eyes and listened to the dancing leaves overhead. They made beautiful music. It was the only kind of music Madame Blythe would let her listen to.
"Music is for hippies and gallivants," she could hear the old woman say. "And I won't tolerate either under my roof."
A wisp of air kissed the girl's cheek, and she opened her eyes. The sky was her favorite color today. It was a rich, bright teal, with curling wisps of white dancing in the wind. High above her, a single black bird soared through the air. It floated back and forth on invisible gusts of wind. It was so high in the air that it didn't need to flap its wings. At that altitude, the wind carried you wherever you wanted to go. Melody wished it would carry her away. She wanted to float in the clouds and travel far away. Any place would do, as long as it wasn't Blackwood Manor. The dark mansion stood on the hill behind her. Like Madame Blythe, it was old and bent. At night, it came to life with noises that sent shivers up her spine. It was very large and very empty, apart from the cobwebs. They were everywhere. Melody didn't like cobwebs. She didn't like Madame Blythe either. She would have preferred a house full of hippies and gallivants, whatever those were. At least they had music. A scream came from up the hill, and a smile appeared on Melody's face. She had flooded the upstairs bathroom, which of course would turn Madame Blythe's face beet red, and perhaps make another strand of her hair turn gray. Melody's smile quickly disappeared, though, when a spike of pain suddenly shot through her head. Madame Blythe had a fistful of her hair and was pulling her towards the mansion. Melody stumbled across the lawn, up the porch, and through the front door. The woman tossed her on the hallway floor and pointed to the central staircase that led up to the second floor.
"You did this, didn't you?" sneered the woman.
Melody looked at the steps, where a small waterfall trickled down and pooled on the floor next to her. She wanted to gloat and say yes. Yes, she did it. But fear lumped in her throat. She shook her head.
"Don't lie to me. I know what you did, and you're going to clean it up."
Madame Blythe disappeared into another room, then reappeared with a mop and a bucket.
"Make this look like it never happened, or else I'll make you wish you'd never been born."
She dumped the supplies on the floor and stormed away. When her crooked frame disappeared, Melody let go of the tears she'd been holding in. She stood to her feet and wiped her cheeks. As angry as she was, she knew her guardian was creative. Madame Blythe would find a way to make Melody's life even worse if she didn't obey. She grabbed the mop and got to work, but she never stopped thinking about that weightless bird flying in the sky. Blue light spilled through the bathroom window as Melody finished sopping up the last puddle of water. She sat down on the edge of the tub and rested her chin in her hands. She'd been cleaning for hours. Madame Blythe was gone.
She'd left for the evening errands without Melody, which meant the girl wouldn't be seeing the outside world for another 7 days. At least now she was alone, even if only for a little while. She closed her eyes and listened to the blissful silence of the mansion. The old floorboards hadn't woken up yet, and in a moment, she was fast asleep. Melody awoke to an echo in the mansion. Somewhere within the old crooked walls, she heard a soft tapping. It had grown dark outside, but Madame Blathe still wasn't home. Melody stood and walked into the hallway and listened. There it was again. The sound was so quiet, it nearly blended in with the ambient noises of the house. But something about it was different. She snuck down the hallway and followed the tapping to a large, ornate door with a cast-iron sconce on either side. It was the door to Madame Blathe's room. Melody wasn't allowed in there, but the door was ajar, and the sound was coming from inside. With a glance over her shoulder, she pushed the door open and entered the room. The room was square, with a large bed in the middle of the floor. Crimson curtains hung over the mattress. There was a wash basin against the left wall, and by the window was a large wooden wardrobe. Melody held her breath and listened. The noise soon returned, and there was no doubt it was coming from the wardrobe. She tiptoed closer, and as she looked at the doors, she noticed they were carved into an image of a hawk fighting a snake. She heard the tapping again. She had to know what was inside. Melody reached out and grabbed both doorknobs and pulled the wardrobe open. Two birds flew out in a burst of feathers. Melody fell back against the bed, stunned and silent. The birds cooed back and forth as they swooped around the room in the most reckless corkscrew turns imaginable. One of them was a white falcon with black speckles dotting its back. The other bird looked like a large blue jay, but its crown was a dark gray. They were making quite the mess in Madame Blathe's room. Melody listened as they sang to each other. But the longer she listened, the more their noises sounded like words. The falcon and the blue jay were having a conversation.
"My wings!" squawked the blue jay. "I can feel my wings, Merida. Tell me I'm not dreaming. Can you see them flapping?"
The bird suddenly whipped its wings back and forth as fast as it could.
"You're not dreaming, Simon," responded the falcon. "Oh, we're finally out of that dank wooden box. It is so good to feel the air in my wings again."
"Ha ha ha!"
laughed the blue jay as it swooped around the room and landed on the floor. It tumbled onto its back and stretched out its wings.
"I never thought we'd escape that terrible sorceress in a million years."
He closed his eyes and laid back his head in complete tranquility.
"Where is that old crone anyways?" asked Merida. "Do you think she's finally dead?"
"Maybe. How else do you think we were able to open the..."
Simon trailed off. He had opened his eyes, and from where he lay, he saw two black-laced, muddy shoes. He looked up and saw two legs and a dress. He continued looking up until he saw two eyes looking back at him.
"Ah!"
He squawked and jumped to his feet.
"It's the sorceress! Merida, she's here!
The white falcon landed on the floor between the blue jay and the girl, her eyes like daggers toward Melody. She scanned Melody from top to bottom, and then she relaxed.
It's just a frightened girl, the white falcon said calmly. No, it's her! I can tell! Shouted the blue jay. She's used her dark magic to make herself young again.
Shut your beak. You're scaring us all with your ramblings. I think this girl just set us free.
Unless that's what Madame Blaze wants you to think, continued the blue jay.
Oh, hush. I'm going to go meet our rescuer.
The speckled falcon walked over to Melody and waved her wing.
Hello there, she said. My name is Merida, and this is my husband Simon. What's your name?
Melody had frozen in place the moment she heard the bird speak. She relaxed her shoulders a bit and convinced her mouth to open.
My name is Melody.
Nice to meet you, Melody.
Oh, Simon, stop your worrying and get over here.
The blue jay poked his head out from behind a chair in the corner.
Hi,
he said weakly.
We are ever so grateful that you opened our wardrobe, Merida said. We've been stuck in there for quite some time. Oh, forgive Simon. He hasn't been the same since we were captured.
Melody had thought enough to ask the question on her mind.
How are you speaking?
She blurted out.
Sorry, that was rude. I've never met a talking bird before.
Birds aren't supposed to talk,
shouted Simon, who had left his hiding place and was now storming his way up to his wife.
But we aren't supposed to be birds.
Melody looked at Merida, who simply shrugged.
It's true, she said. We haven't always been birds. In fact, I'm still getting used to all the pluming and shedding. It's a mess. No, we used to be humans, like you.
What happened? Melody asked.
Oh, that bit should be obvious by now. Madame Blaze got a hold of us.
I always knew she was evil, Melody said. Is she really a sorceress?
The worst of the worst, as evil as they come, Simon said.
We came to her because we needed help. Instead, she took advantage of us, that rotten old goose.
Melody smiled. All her life she had been afraid of Madame Blaze. All her life she had had those same thoughts. Hearing somebody else say them made her feel seen. Someone else knew what was happening at Blackwood Manor. Suddenly, Melody jumped to her feet.
She's probably on her way back from town now, and she won't be very happy that I broke into her room, or let out her magical birds.
The white falcon jumped to her feet.
Best we're not here when she gets back, Merida said.
She scurried towards the door.
We can slip out the back and into the woods. Birds don't have much use for doors, Melody, so we'll be needing you to let us out.
Simon followed her out of the room, and after a moment of confused excitement, Melody followed too. They ran down the steps and around the back to the mudroom. Melody opened the door and peered out into the blackness of night. The two birds jumped out and began bobbing their way towards the distant tree line. As Melody watched them go, a familiar feeling rose up in her stomach. She wished that she was a bird, like them. Maybe then she could run off and escape Madame Blaze. Merida stopped and looked back.
Come on, Melody, what are you waiting for?
She said in a hushed voice.
You said it yourself. We have to hurry. Madame Blaze could be back any moment.
Melody stood frozen in the doorway. She had never run away before. And something was holding her in place.
She wanted to go with them, but she couldn't move.
I can't, she said.
Merida and Simon both came back and stood at the girl's feet.
What do you mean? Said Simon. We have to go. Don't you want to go?
Of course I do, said Melody. But this is the only home I've ever known. I don't know if I can leave it behind.
Merida reached out a white wing and touched Melody's leg.
Home isn't a place. It's the people you're with. This mansion has never been your home, Melody. Not really. It's definitely not where your mother and father would have raised you.
Melody's heart skipped a beat. She fell to her knees and looked Merida in the eyes.
You know my parents?
Yes, said Simon hurriedly. And we'll take you to them, but we have to go right now.
They miss you very much, Melody, said the White Falcon. Trust me, they wouldn't want you to stay here with that wicked old woman.
A creak came from somewhere in the house, and then there were labored footsteps.
She's back, Simon said.
He flapped his wings and flew toward the woods.
Melody, please, pleaded Merida.
They heard the distant, raspy voice of a woman calling Melody's name. Madame Blaise was sure to become suspicious and come looking for the girl any moment. The White Falcon stepped back with fear, and Melody watched the magical birds disappear into the trees. They were right, she knew. Blackwood Manor had never been her home, and if Merida and Simon really knew her parents, did she even have a choice? Melody took a sharp breath and ran for the forest. In a moment, she had caught up with her new friends, and together they disappeared into the night. Melody heard a scream come from far behind her. Madame Blaise must have figured out what had happened, but Melody stifled her fear and kept running. She couldn't hear her footsteps over the whistling wind and the sound of flapping wings beside her. It felt like she was floating in the air, soaring through the trees. Every second took her farther away from the terrible sorceress that lived in that terrible black mansion. Madame Blaise couldn't hurt her anymore. Melody was free. All she could think about was her parents.
What do they look like? She thought. And why did they leave me with Madame Blaise?
She was 13 now, and through all those years, they had never come back to save her. She quickly shook the thoughts out of her head. Simon and Merida told her that her parents wanted her back. They missed her. So she chose to follow those friends. In the dark, she quickened her step, and like a bird, she sailed away to a place she had never been to see the people who truly loved her.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to read the written versions of our book reviews or our short stories, you can check out our website linked in the description below. If you have a book that you'd like us to read and review on the podcast, you can submit those suggestions using the link below as well. Make sure to follow the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes, and thank you for leaving reviews. It helps us reach more people with the Cyan Book Club, and it helps us share the stories worth telling with the world. Thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you in the next episode.